Up next on Grace Life Radio is Word for America.
God has his elect out there into the world. Now, we don't know who those elect are, which means we have to go into all of the world to find them.
Where we discuss today's theological topics.
Bow tie, see my bow tie, tie my bow tie.
Here, let me interpret.
Faster. Do you know what I just said?
Yeah, I believe what Dr. Luke said is welcome to Word for America.
You are good.
I got a gift.
With host Dr. Luke.
Most people say, well, we don't want no stinking doctrine. We just want Jesus.
Pastor Brandon.
Yeah, they use the Arminian highlighter, just the old Sharpie.
And our resident Barnabas, Matt Graham.
What you talking about, free will?
Doctrinal issues.
The Word of God is clear that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, meaning that if anyone is ever going to be saved, it is going to be through the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah, we discussed those. Exposing false teaching.
Well, Joel, it says you're a sinner.
Yeah.
And that's something, that's a word that you refuse to use.
Check. Keeping Dr. Luke on topic.
You, everyone in this room, has potential.
All right, let's rein Dr. Luke back in.
We're working on it. So get ready for the fastest 28 minutes in radio. Take it away, Dr. Luke.
Biblical creationism. What does that mean, and what is progressive creationism versus theistic evolution? That is our discussion on today's Word for America. You are listening to 90.1 FM WPGT, where we preach grace and truth. I am Dr. Luke, as always, joined by Pastor Teacher Brandon Ellison, Grace Life Church of Lake City, and Matthew, our resident Barnabas Graham. Thanks for setting in, as always, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Thank you, sir.
So let's talk a little bit about this. You know, we are, and was just right out of the gate, let's just say we are young earth creationist. Is that right? I don't want to speak for you guys.
I am.
That would be Barnabas as an I am.
I are.
That would be Pastor Teacher Brandon Ellison, who are, is a biblical young earth creationist. And the reason for that is that, you know, we do hold to sola scriptura. We believe what the scripture says, and we believe that it is God's infallible and errant word. And we believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Which reads, anyone?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, in the beginning.
It's that easy.
So a lot of people, but then again, and then and it, what you get is you get a lot of believers, a lot of professing Christians, pastors, leaders in evangelicalism, that they kind of, they bite the bullet on this atheistic evolutionary mindset that they claim is so scientific, which is not scientific. We've talked about that on this show before. It's not so scientific. But they kind of bite the bullet because they really don't know anything about science, or they really don't know what they're talking about. A lot of atheists like to use big words and so-called scientific words, and kind of like, you know, in the evangelical world, some of these pastors like to use big words, and nobody knows what they're talking about, so they just kind of bow out of the conversation. Well, young earth creationism is, and basically when we say young earth creationism, we mean that we believe that the earth itself is anywhere between, you know, 6 and 10,000 years old. We, you know, we'll leave a, it's a pretty wide gap, but when we look at the Bible and we look at the chronology of the Bible, you can basically only trace it back.
Yeah, I think that was Dr. Luke just capitulated to the gap theory there.
No,
a
that
minor
is not,
gap.
That is not the gap theory. That is not the gap theory. So,
I'll go seven.
For
I'll
all
go
of
seven.
For all of you, seven. For all of you all just heard that. That is not the gap theory. I will clear that up here. In a few.
Well, I think one of the things, coming at this thing from a pastoral standpoint is, you know, pastors historically have been the ones who have been, you know, to the higher education. That's probably not the case now in our day, but historically with the reformers and things, those were the some of the more educated men of the day. Because of that, people bring a lot of questions to pastors. Now, because we live in a culture that is wholeheartedly bought into the atheistic evolution model, and it's crept into the school systems and things, a lot of questions will come to the typical pastor about this and how they coincide what they believe the Bible says with science. And really, it comes down to a pride issue, to where maybe they don't want to answer all of the questions, and maybe they don't want to look like the village idiot, so they will try to meld these two things
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Seminary training and classical Bible training of being raised up inside of a church and discipled, you're simply not going to deal with scientific terms. It's just not something that we are interested in.
Right.
It's not something that we would ever preach. And because of that, it is intimidating to take on those issues. But really, when it boils down, and we've waved this flag all the time, and we say it all the time, we are a church, and this is a group of guys here at Grace Life Radio. We hold the sola scriptura.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, no matter what else we may talk about in this broadcast, anything apart from a young earth and God creating that earth in six literal days,
mm-hmm.
you have to get outside of the Bible, because you will never get it from the Bible.
Right. Yeah, and everything, you know, from a sola scriptura standpoint, for those who try to buy into this so-called theistic evolution, and what I mean by that, let's define that real quick. A theistic evolutionist would be a professing believer who says, well, we know Genesis is there, and we know that Genesis 1:1 says what it says, but we also have all of these scientific facts, not really
yeah.
facts, but we have all these scientific facts that kind of, well, they look like they're true. Well, we believe that God kind of did create the earth, but he really didn't do it the way that he said he did in Genesis. He just kind of set things in motion, and then he let the evolutionary process take its place.
He just got it started and let it roll from there.
Spun it like a top, and away it goes.
And a lot of these people don't want to discount what they had been taught for the first 12 years of formal education.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't go against what they were taught.
Yeah, and so that is theistic evolution. So it's from that. So when we use that term, that's what we mean.
You know, and inadvertently, they probably never intended this to happen. There are some wonderful teachers of the Bible who have believed that, sadly. I think of J. Vernon McGee. He was one of those guys that held to that. And, you know, I don't believe it was their intention, certainly, but what they have done is their argumentation is that the more and more knowledge that we gain from the scientific realm, well, that's going to have some bearing upon our interpretation of the Bible.
Right.
Whereas that is completely opposite of the mindset we are to have. And here's what happens is that's almost the same argument as the LGBTQRS movement in our day with the homosexual thing. Well, there's so many different distinctions now.
Throwing the alphabet out
LGBT, all the rest of them. Is they say, well, the writers of the Bible really didn't understand the sexual choices and things the way that we do today. So since we have this vast knowledge that we have just come unto and this generation, then we have to change the interpretation of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the scientific evidence and the scientific community may support what these guys are saying. The trouble is, no matter what happens, it's not going to change the truth of the Word of God. So when you
right.
bring that argumentation into the argument, you open yourself up to all sorts of different things.
Right. And you can't even hold the sola scriptura.
Right.
I mean, the Bible's foundation is Genesis. You take Genesis out. Of course, you take any book out of the Bible, you've left the Bible. But if you take Genesis out, think about this real quick. You take Genesis out, what do you take out?
Yeah.
I mean, you take out where original sin came from.
Well, in at least a typological form, you take out every single significant doctrine in the Bible.
Every one of them. And so it's the foundation stone. Yeah. That's why it's first.
Think about what this does to a young believer. Okay, so you have one of these guys who is a theistic evolutionist that he's teaching through there, and he's telling these people as he is preaching that the Bible means something different than what it says.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm a new believer, what confidence do I have to read this book at all? I mean,
right.
if I don't have the vast knowledge that it takes to understand what this is, I mean, it's hopeless. Why would you study your Bible if that was the case?
Where else might there be something that's not true? Or what would be contradictory
exactly.
to what's written.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everything just crumbles apart, you know, from the very beginning when you believe really it's that nonsense of the evolutionary theory. But the importance of biblical creationism is that it does answer a lot of fundamental questions of our human existence. Number one, how did we get here? Does Genesis answer that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How does it say?
It says that God created us out of nothing.
Right. So it answers that question. Again, where did we come from? Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he created us out of nothing. Why are we here? Now, we can answer that one a little bit differently. You know, some say the Arminian standpoint, well, God was lonely.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that lovely? Well, wasn't he? Wasn't he lonely? Isn't that why he created us?
No.
He did not need us.
I'm trying to play the devil advocate there. Yeah. No, he did not. God does not need us.
No, he'd enjoy perfect communion with his Son and with the Spirit of God for all of eternity past.
What about, you know, do we have a purpose? You know, and what is the cause of all of our problems, i.e. the original sin issue that comes up with Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan himself presenting himself as the serpent in the garden, and also where Satan, even from the beginning, was going against God's word, right? When he talked to Eve, did God really say, did he really say that if you ate of that, you'd die? Did he really say that?
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes from me. So why are we here? Are the issues of sin and salvation important then?
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, but
and actually, in the other side of the story is that all these questions are basic questions that people have. As soon as you can start to think and reason, you want to know the answers to these questions. Now, if you have somebody that is hating God and does not want to admit that God is there and created them, they'll find another answer for these questions. But think about just the few questions that you've had. Okay, well, somewhere hundreds of millions of years ago, there was this little thing floating on the water. Electricity hit it from a spark, mm-hmm. and then the first creature got a second cell, and then it happened again and again, and then, you know, we crawled up on the land.
Oh, and then it had to find something to eat.
Yeah, and you're left with the questions, okay, where did the water come from?
Yeah,
all that.
Where did the single cell come? Where did the spark come from?
Yeah.
Right. And so then, why are we here? No reason.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so then how do we have moral laws? Well, we know why we have moral laws. For them, it's just survival of the fittest, and everybody has no reason to respect anybody else's person or property.
Right. And so we've defined young earth creationism basically, you know, 6 to 10,000, probably more, even 6 to 8, you know, I could even go there, 6 to 8,000 years old. So you guys can stop this gap theory. Now the gap theory, let's bring that up. Let's rightly define the gap theory, as these guys have completely just thrown me under the bus there. So the gap theory is this, which is completely absurd, by the way, and I'm going to tell you why. The gap theory is that I guess there is this old earth, where old earth creationism comes in, and really is theistic evolution belief as well. But between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, this is the gap. Between verse 1 and verse 2 is that there is this billions of year gap between verses 1 and 2, hence, i.e., the gap theory. Now, that is absurd, because when Moses sat down and penned Genesis, he did not sit down and say, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then verse 2. Mm-hmm. Did Moses do that?
No. It was a letter of encouragement, nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. It would have been pointless to do that.
So was Moses thinking about a gap? And was he even thinking about verses?
No, not at all. You know, in they either lump it into one large gap, or they'll break the gaps up over the 6 days and say that, you know, morning and evening are the first day. Well, that's a unspecified number of years. The trouble is, that's not what the text says.
It's the morning and the evening of the first day, and then the Hebrew word for day is yom, which means a 24 literal day. And those who want to say, well, this is years and billions of years, how do you get an evening and a morning out of that?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And also, I want to point out something that you had said, Sean. You know, I believe, what was it, the late 1500s when the Geneva Bible came out?
Uh-huh.
Was the first time that we had chapters and verses.
Yeah, versiology,
right?
Yeah.
So anybody that's looking back at that and say, oh, well, there's a perfect divide right there in between those two verses. Well, those verses did not exist when Moses put the book down on paper.
Yeah, and that's that's people, that's not thinking in a historical content whatsoever, which, you know, you can come up with all kinds of crazy ideas not thinking in a historical content. You brought up the fact when we opened up the show about the education of the reformers, and then how, you know, we had that, you know, that the history is that was there, but now not
so
much.
You know, every generation has this to some degree, but you suffer from a generational snobbery, to where you just assume that you're smarter than everyone else that has ever lived. When in fact, you know, because of sin entering into the world and it just spreading its tentacles further and further, we're probably worse off when it comes to intellectual prowess than our forefathers.
Right.
So just to assume that we know something that they did not know, when in fact the basis for all truth is the Word of God,
absolutely,
is absurd.
Absolutely. So old earth creationism is really those who are basically theistic, you know, evolutionists and believe that God used evolution to create humans. Problem number one is that he never said that he did that. Problem number two, and here's the big one, you've got a big theological problem here, because, you know, the Genesis account tells us that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Okay, now here's the big theological conundrum that this theistic evolutionists have when trying to hold the doctrine. You brought up that they're going to have tons, everything falls apart, but here's the big one. So the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. Evolution in and of itself, in order to get to the next, you know, survivor or the fittest, in order to get to the next being or whatever, guess what needs to happen?
No dying.
But what has to happen in the evolutionary mindset? Death has to happen, you know, and guess what would have had to happen for that evolutionary mindset to get to Adam?
Sin.
Yeah, we got a problem.
Big problem.
Yeah, so there's a big theological problem for those of you who believe that, well, God used evolution to create man. Well, the wages of sin is death. So your whole reasoning for why you would even believe the Bible breaks down if you believe that God used evolution to do, you know, to create man or what have you. And then atheistic evolution is basically those who don't believe in God at all. They just believe that there was this little dot that, I love this one, there was this little dot out there and it just explodes and it created everything and there was this big, you know, this big bang and it was, oh, by the way, that's a theory.
Yeah.
By definition, what's a theory?
Something that has not been proven.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So, but they're dogmatic that this is the case.
they're not just dogmatic, they're bulldogmatic.
They're bulldogmatic. So that's atheist. So atheistic evolution is that. Theistic evolution is basically people who claim that God did it, they just still believe that evolution is evolution. And then they use the Darwinian idea about this evolutionary mindset. By the way, Charles Darwin had a degree not in science, but in what? Anyone? Anyone?
Caught me off guard, sorry.
He had a Bible degree.
Yeah, but wasn't his grandfather even a evolutionist?
No, I don't know anything about his grandfather.
I believe it was grained down that
my
family.
My point is his only training was in the Scriptures. And then yet everybody wants to look at this guy as a scientist.
He must have been trained by Presbyterian.
He must have been trained by the Presbyterian.
Oh, a little shot.
I don't have a symbol. I don't have a symbol. Where did that come from? His only degree was really based in the Scriptures, and he wasn't a scientist at all. And then he takes this whole little idea that he was, you know, on the islands there, the Galapagos Islands or whatever, and that he was watching these Galapagos. I can't even
Galapagos. And the finch.
Anyway, the finches. I can get to the finches. So he watches these finches.
Swing for the finches.
So he watches.
You guys are assuming that I was awake during high school science class.
Oh, we're throwing. Here's a perfect example of the pastors who are just bowing out because I wasn't awake during this class.
Now listen, what's going to happen Sunday when somebody says that?
What?
I wasn't awake during the sermon.
Yeah, well, I wasn't awake when Pastor Brandon talked about sin.
I was not granted ears to hear back
then. Yeah, that's it. That's it. You hadn't granted repentance. Anyway, let's get back to the finches.
So
Darwin is watching these finches, and he says, well, this finch was different than this finch, and it evolved from this finch to this finch. Well, guess what? They're still finches.
Yeah, they did not change to a different species.
They didn't change to a cat. They didn't change to... a horse.
Right.
Or
a fish. A fish did not become a finch.
A finch is a finch is a finch is a finch.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and back to the Bible.
Good.
It's going to bear fruit after its own kind. You're not going to change kinds. It's
right.
It's just not possible.
And that's another thing that the Genesis account tells us.
Certainly.
That things were created and then things, reproduced
after
their own kind, very, very clear with the scriptures and it tells us, we reproduce after our own kind. And then everything, and then also, let's look at Christ. Everything Christ forward, Old Testament, talking about and pointing to Christ. In the Old Testament, in the Genesis account, Christ, obviously being God. I mean, it's all there. And then we got this first and second Adam. Let's talk about that for a little bit, with Adam, from the garden, and then we have another Adam. And what's the whole connection there between the first and the second Adam?
Well, we learn also in the book of Genesis that when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man, Mago Dei, in his own image, and formed the woman from man.
You was awake in Hebrew class?
Yes, that one I was awake in. And the amazing thing there is that he puts them into a place of absolute perfection. But sin comes into the world, and sin begins to wreak havoc on everything. Sin affects the man. Sin affects the place that the man lives in. Sin affects the heart, the soul of that man. And everything that was established at perfect very quickly at the moment of sin becomes chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not chaos in that it's spinning out of control and God is not sovereign over it, but it's chaos from the standpoint that things are acting contrary to what they were created by God to do. So what we have in the beginning in the book of Genesis is God's redemptive plan of making the crooked path straight and setting right the things that were wrong and redeeming the things that had been estranged. So what we have in Christ is the redemption of everything back to that perfected righteous state that it was at creation, although it's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do we have the righteousness of a perfect man, but we have the righteousness of the Son of God, which is imputed to us. So the first Adam, bad.
Yeah.
We are all by nature in him. The second Adam, good.
Good. Muy bien.
And those who are inside of him no longer bear the reproach of first Adam.
Right. And the whole point, again, the basis, the foundation book of Genesis and laying that out.
Yeah. I'm a Big Bang guy as well. And that Big Bang happens at conversion, whenever God creates a new heart in you. And then, bam, you're a new creature.
That's like emergent right there. You just went a little emergent on us.
You're a new creature. Was that pragmatism? I'm not sure.
Did you steal that from the mega church down the street?
No, but I might sell it to them.
Oh, they'll buy it.
They'll do
sure.
that one. They'll do that, buddy.
Anyway, that is all the time we have. Yeah, that is basically, so that was a real quick, basic show on young earth creationism, why we are young earth creation, and what the importance is for believers to believe in young earth creationism. If you have questions and you want to email email us for potential topics or questions. If you want to rant or just complain, please complain and direct that toward Matthew Barnabas Graham.
I'm here.
At Word for America. That's all one word, wordforamerica@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Radio. You can also follow Dr. Luke Theology Talk as well. You can follow Pastor Brandon on Twitter at Live in Grace. And you can follow me, Dr. Luke, at Dr. Luke in the number 23. And as always, we ask that you be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to search the scriptures daily to see if what you're hearing and seeing is of the Lord.